Everybody, welcome to CASFA Unfiltered. My name is Sean Domingo. I'm your host for today. And today I am joined with the beautiful Rashinda, who is our CASFA president for this 24-25 award year. She is amazing. She has great outlook and she has a whole new direction for CASFA for this year. So Rashinda, without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and have you introduce yourself.
Hello. This is so exciting, you guys. We are on our very first episode of CASFA Unfiltered. Yes, my name is Rashinda Hutchison. I am 2024's CASFA's president. And let me tell you, it has been a year like no other year. And I kind of thought that it was going to be a little bit funny style. I didn't know how funny it was gonna be, but this year I really wanted to bring us together with a lot more communication and putting out more information for our CASFA membership. That has been one of my biggest goals. You know, I started out like, let's update this website, let's start doing a chronicle more, let's start putting out more information to our membership. And so that's kind of the page that we've been on this year. We've been very, very busy just getting a lot of information out to our membership, a lot of trainings, a lot of just thinking outside the box is what we've been trying to focus on this year. I don't want to steal the spotlight and talk about some other things, so I'll save a little bit. But yeah, this is what it's been about. This has been an unprecedented year, and you know what? It's time for us to do some unprecedented things. So this year, we're going up. We're taking CASFA to a whole nother level.
And Rashinda, yeah. You've been doing big things. I mean, like, you've been on top of everybody. You've reorganized the entire structure of CASFA, established committees that needed to be established that haven't been established in a long time. For instance, our communication committee, you have a whole new direction and vision for what this institution should be. And I mean, as being part of the executive council, I can appreciate that. What are your overall goals and what's your vision for the institution?
You know what? We could be so much better. There's a lot of things that we were lacking on. But just having our information available to the state of California's financial aid professionals at their fingertips is really what it's all about for me. Like, you should be able to use us as a resource. You should be able to come to us for trainings. You should be able to, that's what we're here for. I don't know that we were always doing that in the past. I mean, we were, but we weren't doing it on such a big level. I'm trying to take it there to the next level with it. So yeah, when you open up your phone, you should be able to go to our Instagram page and see what's going on with California's financial aid. Bam. When you do go online to CASFA.org, you should be able to see information that's pertaining to your particular segment, whether you're in a community college, whether you're at a Cal State, no matter where you are, you should be able to log in and find information about the state of California's financial aid. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. One of the things that I noticed in our executive council meetings is, you know, there's one person and that one person is doing everything. And it's like, why are you doing everything on your own? We're a team. Let's go ahead and get you a committee going within ourselves on our own executive council. And let's build this thing up. And that's been really, really key. You're right. With our committee, our communications team, it has been a game changer because now we're pumping out information everywhere, online. We're doing it via Instagram. We're doing it via this podcast and our chronicle.
Perfect. So if I can ask you, like, what is your current outlook? So we're going into 24-25.
Let me tell you.
We all know FAFSA simplification has been a beast for all of our departments, whether we're, you know, community colleges, UCs, CSUs. It has been a beast for all of us. What is CASFA's take, or even your take on, you know, how things have rolled out, how things are being laid out for departments, and what can we expect?
Everything you thought you could expect, you cannot expect. Okay, right? That's what I have learned this year. Right? We're going to put the FAFSA out by this date. Just kidding. That's not going to happen. You know, we're going to open it up so that you guys can have your information. Schools will be able to look at their information by this date. Delayed. FAFSA, For my mixed status families, that has been a complete nightmare this whole time through. Like, everything that I thought that I could definitely say, you know, after being in financial aid for so many years, honestly, you know, you've been in this game for nothing really changes, right? Until now, everything has changed, right? And it's about getting in front of that, rolling with the change.
Exactly.
And, you know, my thing is trying not to get frustrated by it, because I tell you, number one thing I do is, I mean, I just want to flip out. Like you guys just said, we were going to be able to do batch corrections in the middle of August. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Like, no, we're waiting until 25, 26 for that. Like, really? So, you know, instead of like learning to really flow with the change is what it's really about. My supervisors at my job, they always use this one word, and I'm just like so sick of it and I'm tired of it. And now I just catch myself using it all the time. Like, oh, we got to pivot. Like, how many times do we have to pivot? This year has been the year of pivoting. Like,
we're,
really?
Yeah. We're like ballerinas already. We just pivoted in left and right. Yeah. I got you. I got you. So what are some things that like CASPA has signed on to or that has supported in order to help financial aid departments in this past year with FAFSA simplification?
You know, we did a big trip. Every year we go to the state capitol and we talk to our state legislatures, but this year it was really important and the work that we did was super crucial to getting us a FAFSA, a new FAFSA state deadline date. We knew March 2nd is not gonna be possible for the students of California to get their FAFSA. Like, that was just impossible. So really getting out, we did. We went to the state capitol. We talked to people. We went in their offices and just really let them know, this is what we're facing in the financial aid community. This is what would be helpful. We need to move that date to a later date. And actually, I would like to say CASPA was a big part in getting this thing moved over to May 2nd. Mm-hmm. We ended up with the May 2nd, you know, deadline date. So that was a huge thing for our state, which allowed more students to be able to complete their FAFSAs, which is really what it was all about. And to be able to get that state aid, that good California state aid.
Perfect. Perfect. So what are some things, because I know CASPA, you know, always does the day at the Capitol.
Yes.
Type of thing as well, too. So do you know, like, some of the bills or some of the things that we went and advocated for this year and, like, certain things that kind of stood out to you?
You know, we were talking a lot about scholarships. We were... Golly.
Because I know, like, scholarship displacement was one of them.
Scholarship displacement was one of the
bills. Yeah, that was, like, AB 288 or something.
And we're talking about, this is back in March.
Yep.
When we did all of this. Yep. So it was and it wasn't even a year where we had a lot of bills on the table for us to really go out and be looking at. So it was only a few main things that we were talking about. For sure, moving that state deadline date, scholarship displacement was another one. And then we talked about getting those independent students with dependents.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Some good financial aid and doing some things for them as well. I think... It's, if you've never been in a room where you're actually able to represent what is happening around you in your field, in your industry, and it's such a powerful thing because you can tell the story to them that lets them know, like, oh, that's what you guys are talking about. Oh, a student went through that, that, and that. Oh, no wonder this is a big deal. It's like we really had to tell the story to them for them to see the bigger picture and to understand where we were coming from. But it's such a powerful experience being able to be in the room and share those stories and share that knowledge with other people that are not in our industry. They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Roshinda, let me ask you. So, for years, financial aid administrators have been operating under kind of like the gray area of how the federal government dictates how we run SAP. But now all of a sudden, the state has stepped in and has said, okay, for state aid, this is how we need you to be running your SAP. And these are the guidelines and everything that you need to be running them in. What's your take or even CASPA's take on how the state is kind of stepping in and kind of dictating to us now on how we need to run this?
You know, our take is why?
Right?
Honestly, it's just a lot of times these ideas come out and they don't realize the administrative burden that it causes on us, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's another thing for us to be looking out for. It's another thing for us to have to do. I get it, trying to protect state dollars. Like, I get it, but honestly, it seems like a lot.
Well, and I mean, I can understand from a point, I mean, there are a lot of schools that, you know, didn't allow for SAP, you know, at all. Like, they weren't looking at professional judgments. They weren't looking at anything, which, I mean, is a hindrance to a lot of our students because, I mean, some of them need to have that adjustment. They have those special circumstances. So, I mean, I can understand why they're stepping in there. But to expect schools to run an entire separate SAP policy for just state aid versus federal, not that, you know, especially for, like, my segment at the community college, for us to already be running a separate SAP requirement on California College Promise Grants on top of our SAP policy, and now you want us to run an additional SAP policy just for state aid.
For state, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what feedback have you gotten from, you know, CASFA or anyone else in the system on this? It's a lot.
It's a lot. I don't want to say anything negative. It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
I mean, just the burden on our financial aid departments. And then, I mean, kind of like the lack of funding that we've kind of had and the resources. I mean, to expect all of this from us, I mean, do we really think it's reasonable?
At this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But thinking along the level of what can we do to relieve some of that burden as CASFA, that's where I want to go with it next. Mm-hmm. Because, like, if this becomes, I mean, what can we do to help, basically?
Well, and I think it's important for a lot of schools to understand what resources are out there. Because, I mean, CASFA offers a lot of great resources. But I don't think a lot of schools understand where they can tap into those resources and understand that they really have a voice in these processes. And so a lot of them don't speak up.
Yeah, and a lot of people are not involved in that way, which is half of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, we've definitely had a whirlwind of 24-25 issues that have come about. And like you said, I mean, now that we can't do batch corrections as well.
Talk about the burden. This is what I'm talking about. First of all, I have to have a whole separate team of people.
Right.
To go in and manually do correction after correction. Like, this is insane. I mean, again, I don't, let's take this to another level. We don't want to get too negative. I mean, yeah, we are
no, filter, no.
But let's take it to another level. There's some good things happening in financial aid.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I fully agree, and I don't know, you know, how everyone else feels about it. I fully agree, and I'm in support of how the federal government wanted to take the methodology. I think it's finally serving the students that the federal financial aid programs were meant to serve. I just think the rollout, like, I mean, I think one of the best quotes during the whole, like, you know, committee meeting when Justin Dreger and stuff was there. And I think one of the comments they made was the patches they've kind of give us to work around are kind of like rearranging the deck on the Titanic.
Yeah.
That was the best quote ever that I've heard.
That was like the best description.
Right?
I feel like if you knew that you were going to be putting this out, because we knew it was coming a long time before. I mean, there was talk about it a long time before. It,
like back in like early 2020.
We knew.
Yes. Right?
So how did we get here?
Well, and how are we going to move forward?
How do we move forward?
Because now, I mean, recent regulations and recent, you know, publications that have come out, it sounds like the Department of Ed is pretty much just saying, okay, we're done with 24-25. you schools need to figure it out. We're moving on to 25-26 now, right. And we're going to try to perfect that. So you're on your own for 24-25.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, 25-26, is it going to launch October? Because October...
That's another question.
It's like 60 days away now.
Yeah.
So... While you're over there perfecting the 25-26, are we ready for launch?
Exactly. Well, and then they're not even putting the launch out for comment this year.
No.
And they're not even the ones that are launching it. If I'm understanding correctly, based off of recent stuff that's come out, they're having College Board or the president of College Board go ahead and release the FAFSA for 25-26.
And the plot.
Thickens, right?
It's like, wait.
So with all of that put aside with 24, 25, 26, because we know it's been a whirlwind, how has your presidency been? And what do you feel are the biggest tackles that you have had this year?
Tackles?
Well, obstacles, however you want to describe them.
I think the biggest thing that, first of all, this year has been amazing. I mean, I've had a really great time as being your CASPA president. I have an amazing executive council. I like to brag on them because it's like the group of financial aid elite, you know, it's like all of the professionals from every single segment is there in the room and the knowledge is flowing. It's really a great, it's been a great experience. I have been in the position where I can put out a vision, mm-hmm. just a vision, like, hey, I would like to see this, and immediately they take over and things are done. And it's been a really great experience for that part. The goal that I had was putting out a lot of communication and, you know, getting that information out to our membership. It has been challenging because the moment that I write up an article and I say this, that, and that, by the time the article comes out, that information has already changed. We've seen that a lot at the very beginning of this year when we were saying, oh, do this, and this. Oh, for mixed status families, we could try this. And then it's like, oh, that changed. That doesn't work anymore. Oh, mm-hmm. you know, and they gave us this resource. Oh, that doesn't work anymore. It became a nightmare of really being able to put out the right information that was going to remain true, you know? Gotcha. So that has been a challenge within itself. But I think other than that, we have been doing some really amazing things. We launched our very first summer program, our leadership program, Emerging Leaders Academy, went off this year, just last month in July. I am beyond proud. That's one of those things where you put out the vision and then they take over.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. I am so proud of how that turned out. The number of people that we were getting is more than what we had expected. We originally didn't need, you know, we were like shooting for this is what we need. This is what we got to have. We surpassed all of our goals. Everybody that went, well, by the way, I got to go the last day and meet the participants. Nice. So, I got the chance to really talk to them and they were excited. They were like on fire. So it was such a good experience. I was kind of happy to be there in the room with them. Like these little leaders, they're about to come up and do something good. So yeah, it was a good experience. And that's something that we put together for the very first time and that will happen each year now, every summer. One of the things that I did get to experience in talking to one of those emerging leaders, you know, is the whole talk about imposter syndrome. Like, you know, I'm here, but it's like, and it's like, girl, use your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Use your voice.
Yep.
You don't have to be the person that, you know, that you're looking at and you're trying to be. You are you. You have your own talent. You have your own special things to provide. Use your voice. So it was really good to have those types of conversations
mm-hmm.
With those emerging leaders. And yeah, that went off this year. Summer Ellis, Sean, big shout out to you. Your participation in this thing was huge. I'm talking about putting it together, piecing it, man, piece by piece. Oh my gosh. Amazing work.
I've heard nothing but positive feedback from it. You know, I mean, 18 sessions for a week long, you know, Leadership Academy. The participants were amazing. I've heard nothing but great feedback from the entire event.
Tell them about some of the things they got.
I mean, some of these participants, I mean, they got professional headshots. They got electronic business cards. They got a week's worth of soft skills that leadership individuals, I feel, are lacking, you know, these days. I mean, just how to manage a team, how to do what's best for your team and your institution, you know, how to manage your own time. These are vital skills that, you know, with our mass exodus that we've had over the last couple of years, I mean, and I'm not even going to say due to COVID. I mean, it's a combination of COVID, it's a combination of FAFSA simplification, it's a combination of a lot of things. But I mean, a lot of us are getting out of the field. And to be able to prepare these leaders for what's, you know, coming up and be able to ensure that they're treating their staff, their institution, their students with the same respect and, you know, responsibility and holding them responsible for what they should be doing for the next generation is crucial. And I mean, this academy was well needed. It was well worth it. And I think it was well received by a lot of our participants. And I'm grateful that you allowed me to be part of this first inaugural class. It was an amazing experience. And I mean, it was an amazing experience for all of the faculty. And for you to get this all together this year was amazing.
Yeah, we definitely had to set some strict goals and some strict deadlines to make it happen. But I really do believe we pulled it together. We pulled it together like no other. One of the other faculty leaders was like, I've been in this industry for 30 years, and this was the most fulfilling thing that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
This 1 week of this LO. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and to see those participants, I mean, at the end of the week was just, it was great. And I've gotten emails back from directors of their campuses that were all like, the individual I sent said it was amazing. So it was well worth it. But I mean, it'll be great to see how this program progresses every year. But you made it happen.
Well, no, you made it happen. Hey. You know, we also had participation from California Student Aid Commission. So we had some people from CSAC come out, and they also did a session. I mean, just piling this information into our emerging leaders is huge. Mm-hmm. They were learning about reports and things that they never knew about before. Mm-hmm. So the history of California Aid, like all of these extra things, that where do you get that? Where do you get that information?
Well, I mean, and I feel like we were the first group to finally go into exploring the office politics of everything. Because a lot of people don't want to touch on it, but we all know there's office politics that play into stuff.
Yeah.
You want to get that promotion, you want to get up there, you want to be able to get stuff done when you need to get it done and affect change on your campus. You have to be able to play those politics. And I mean, to a point, it sucks that you have to go there, but it's the reality of it. You have to be able to play the game to get what you need done on your campuses. And
this is something that campuses don't teach you.
No.
They're not teaching you this in your financial aid office.
No.
It's amazing for us to have something like this available.
Yeah. And who you need to talk to, who you need to get reports from when you gotta get stuff done. I mean, it's all about us getting it done. We gotta get the job done.
Such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It is what it is. So outside of the ELA program, so what great things can we expect coming forward from the CASFA conference? Because that's scheduled for December, and it's going to be in beautiful Universal Studios in Southern California. Yeah. And I know you were the one that made that happen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, CASFA conference is going down this year. We're taking it back to December. It used to be in December many, many years ago. And we're taking it back to December. This year, December 8th through the 10th, we're going to be at the lovely Universal Studios there. It was important to me to get us in a place where we can really have some fun. I felt like this is the year, if there's ever any year, this is the year that we really need to let loose and party and have a good time. Yes, we are going to be there to learn and learn about new things. Yes, we're going to have lots of sessions to go to. But ultimately, we're going to have a good time. This year's our conference theme is CASPA Renaissance. Yes, it's the Renaissance because we're in a new era of financial aid. Like, everything is brand new. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Preach,
like, it's
preach.
Not EFC anymore. Yep. It's SAI. Like, everything is brand new. We have just reached this new era of financial aid. It's the Renaissance, y'all. And now it's time for us to shine bright. Like, it is time for us to go in. I envision bling. I envision coming with your sequence dresses. I envision you coming with all of the bling bling, all the glitter.
Girl, if I gotta wear a corset, you know I'm gonna need to be dieting a little bit before I be doing that, okay?
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna party it up. But yeah, we're going to be in a beautiful location at a really nice time of year where it's pretty decked out and it's really beautiful there. So I'm excited. I'm excited. And this is somewhere we haven't been before. So
okay,
it should be fun.
So what can we expect from the conference? What are some highlights that you're anticipating on having? Are there going to be some social activities for participants? What are we looking at?
Oh, yeah, we got lots of social activities going to be happening. We got a little bit of Universal Studio, a little perk coming. We also will be having some special guests, like our regional WASFA. We're going to have somebody from WASFA there. We're going to have some people from NASFA there. Okay. We want to have a lot of updates as much as we can give at that point in time. That's going to be available. We are...
So I'm guessing we're gonna expect like guest speakers like Karen from like NASFA maybe. Mm-hmm. Are you guys having Tim from NASFA that's gonna be doing some of the activity stuff?
We are working on putting the program together now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's coming.
Okay.
In fact, registration for that is gonna be coming out pretty soon, like later this month.
Nice.
And this is actually a good time for us to talk about what's really happening right now in August, and that's our CASPA election season.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes.
New board.
It is time for us to create that executive council for the 25-26 year. If you are interested, now would be a good time to go ahead and put your hat in the ring. Elections are happening. The call for nominations is going out this week. If it didn't go out on Friday, it'll be going out this week. This is your time to get involved, no matter what segment you're in. This is your chance to really make a difference. This is your opportunity to take your career to the next level. This is your chance to get out there and get to know other professionals in the industry. I mean, this honestly, serving on CASPA's executive council for the past few years has been a really great experience for me. Not only have I met like true solid friends,
mm-hmm.
I also have connections mm-hmm. now at every institution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because of the work that I've done with CASPA. So it's been a really good experience, and I encourage you all to get involved. Maybe that's not even your cup of tea, but step outside the box. Like, why not? Why not?
And Rashinda, are you seeing any, like, I know you have all the segmental reps set up, you know, through CASPA and stuff. Are you finding it a little harder to get representation from certain segments than the
yes.
others? And what would you recommend to those segments?
You know, proprietary segment. I would just recommend that somebody steps up, because putting you all together in a room and getting information to you all, that part is missing if we don't have that representation on the executive council. It's hugely important. Again, like I said, even if it isn't your cup of tea, just step outside of the box and do this thing. Honestly, the commitment level that we have is not that much. We do an executive council meeting. Actually, this year we've been doing a lot of them virtually. So we're not even traveling as much. We've been saving a little bit of money. We're meeting virtually maybe once every, you know, month or 2 months. And our actual executive council meetings, we meet on a quarterly basis. So it's not a huge commitment, but it is definitely valuable beyond what I can even express. So
And then since you're talking about that as well, too, like, I mean, the committees itself, what is the expectation of individuals just to volunteer? So, I mean, not even to, like, chair or be a segmental rep, but just to volunteer for any one of the committees that are available on CASPA. What's the expectation for that?
Yeah, so every segment will have a committee going. And that committee may meet every once a month. They may meet every other month. The expectation is that you would just show up to the meeting and share your experiences, use your voice, explain things that are happening around your campus. This is the chance for you to get help when you need help. This is the chance for you to put something out for your whole segment that can help your whole segment. Like, I think this would be a really good idea if we could all do that. This is that opportunity, and this is the way that you can do that. Tap in. Lock in. Yeah. I used to be the UC segmental representative, and in the years when I was doing it, we created a virtual conference that was called UC SegCon, and that was the first time that all of our UC financial aid offices were able to log into a Zoom for 4 hours and break out in breakout sessions and talk to each other. Like, oh, you do the same thing that I do. How do you guys do it? Oh, we do it like that. Like, that was the first time that we ever had something like that. And just creating something for our segment had been, it was beneficial. It was hugely beneficial. And this is the way that some people in my office know people at UCLA now, and they know people at UC Berkeley now. Yeah. And it's because literally we all work together in our SegCon conference. But it's, this is an opportunity. You could take it as far as you want. You know, you don't have to limit yourself. You can definitely go hard with this thing. But yeah.
No, Shinda, you know, a lot of us, you know, we have our full-time jobs. Some of us are directors, associate directors, we're, you know, financial aid specialists, whatever our titles may be, we have our full-time jobs. What is it about volunteering and being a part of this organization that make it worthwhile? And how heard are our voices, not just within the state of California, but I mean, even regionally, nationally? What happens with what we bring to the table?
Yeah, you know what? The state of California, we hold a lot of weight. I don't know if you all know, but we do. We hold a lot of weight. When I go to a WASFA regional meeting and I'm there with our other states, it's kind of like, oh, California, you're on your own because you guys have, you know, and it's like, we're on a whole nother level, honestly. When we go to the national events, California stands outside of pretty much everyone. You know, we have more schools than, you know, how many colleges there are in the state of California? It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, our community college segment alone, we got 116.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we hands down got the most colleges out of any state. Yes.
We also have, we've been growing with our certification. I think you gave us the numbers last time. For the state of California, people getting certified. I can't remember what our numbers
are. For our FAACs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we're about at 26 for California. But, I mean, we were at top three for CFAs. We have recently just fallen to spot four. But as the, you know, CFAA commission representative for WASFA, I will be trying to be getting that up this year.
I know, that's right.
Exactly. We're going to work on it. So we're going to get it there because California's got to be number one at some point.
We have to be number one. I mean, we have too many schools out here to not have the professionals there. Like, come on. Let's get some people certified. Yeah. Exciting stuff. Yeah, so the state of California is huge, okay? The things that we do sets the tone. For other states, they start to look like, oh, that's what California does. Let's try and do. And it's a thing. So not actually sharing the things that we do with other states has been beneficial for them because they're picking up on it and they're doing what we're doing. A lot of times, though, they may have a state association and they don't have a lot of people. because there's not a lot of schools and there's not a lot of, so we have a lot of people here in our state. There's a lot of financial aid professionals. We could do some really big things if we come together.
Yeah, well, we hands down have the most to deal with. I mean, I can honestly say, you know, coming from Hawaii myself, where we had no state programs, to having 50 million different state programs here in California. Yeah, we got all of them. It's definitely a chore and a challenge to be a financial aid administrator in California.
It's about the love, y'all.
It is.
That's honestly what it comes down to. It's the love of what you do.
It is. It's definitely not about paycheck.
It's not about the pay. It's not about the pay. It's about that feeling that you get, though, knowing, hey, I did that. I was able to help somebody succeed. They got their education. They were able to get their education funded because of the things that I was doing in the background. Like, that is a huge, that's huge. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, definitely, come definitely.
On. Feels good. Feels good.
Always. That's why we always.
Do it. That's why we do it. And volunteering, I mean, doing something for non-monetary gain, you got to do it because your heart is in it. You got to do it because you have some type of love for it. I've been surrounded by a bunch of people like that. That's who's in my executive council right now. Mm-hmm. We all do it because we love it, honestly.
Well, I mean, and we even, I think there was a session on at Emerging Leaders that talked about, you know, customer service and just the feeling and the endorphins and the serotonin that helping others just kind of releases for an individual that helps with depression, your overall satisfaction of your job. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Couldn't agree more. I really love what we do. I mean, financial aid is a special thing.
And how long have you been in the field?
You're going to put me on the spot.
You know it.
I'm at 19 years.
Okay.
19
years. It's okay. I'm at 21. I got you.
Okay. I just hit 10 years at UC, and I'm like, whoa, I've never been out of school for so long. What am I doing? Oh, my God. But yeah, been in this game for a minute. You know, back in the day when it was easy, paper faxes. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Roshinda, after all is said and done, and come December, when that CASFA conference happens, and you have to pass that torch over to the next leadership, what is one thing, if you had to state it, that you want to be known for during your time in leadership for CASFA? What is the one thing you want them to associate Roshinda with?
That she flipped the game. She flipped the game for us because we weren't doing any of these things. And now we're doing all of these things. Like, I want to be known for that. I want to be known for, changing it up. Changing it up. Giving us a little bit of flair, a little bit of style, a little bit of extra.
Well, you've definitely done that.
Yeah, but I think we could do more. We still got a few more months, you know, to go hard. So, yeah.
Plenty of months between now and December for the conference, right?
Uh-huh. And we're just hitting fall opening. So something, you never know what else we could put up.
Right. And then besides like the Day of the Capitol, the ELA stuff, how active is CASFA with, you know, training initiatives, like their training committee?
I don't know if you all read your emails, but we do. We put out emails with trainings that are happening on a monthly basis, honestly. Mm-hmm. There's always some type of a training going on. A lot of times it doesn't matter what your segment is. It's just good information for you to be able to tap in and learn. We have one that's coming up that's going to be kind of talking about something like different, like mental health or something, you know, a little bit different. So there's always something that is being provided. We send out that monthly calendar, but you can always log into our website and see training opportunities as well. But this is a really great way. And I mean, it doesn't take long. It's just like an hour, you know, log in. But this is a really great way to tap into some of those resources and information that we're putting out. It happens all the time. We're doing it every month.
And all this can be found on the website as well, too, right?
All of this can be on the website. If you pay attention to the Chronicle, we're putting it out there in the Chronicle as well.
Okay. All right. Well, Rashinda, is there anything else? Because you are doing big things, girl. You are rocking and rolling.
This podcast was huge. You know, we tried to do our first episode back in March, and then we got busy.
Life hit us.
Oh my gosh! April 2nd, it was like, oh, May 2nd, like, oh my gosh, it was too.
Yeah, between work and life and FAFSA simplification, it just hit us.
So now I'm really, really excited that we're able to put this out. We do have some very special episodes that are going to be coming up next. So we have some people from our executive council that we will be bringing in. We're going to be bringing in some people from CSEC as well. Mm-hmm. You never know what we're going to be talking about. You never know how this conversation may go, because this is CASPA Unfiltered, and we could do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be politically correct on here, because this is us just talking about financial aid in the state of California. It's a great thing. I'm excited.
Well, Rashinda, it was great to get to know you a little bit, get to know what your vision for CASPA is, hear of all the amazing things that CASPA has going on and the volunteer opportunities. I want to thank you again for joining us today and being here. The program sounds amazing, and what's to come sounds even more amazing. So thank you again.
Thank you, Sean. We appreciate you.
All right. And we will see you again on another future podcast.
All right.
All right. Have a good day.